Good morning. It's 6 o'clock on Friday the 19th of September. This is Morning Ireland on RTE Radio 1 with Christopher McKevitt and Gavin Jennings.
On the strength of a huge turnout, the Scots say they're staying. With most of Scotland declared, Better Together takes the night and by a greater margin than the knife edge polls suggested. Having stepped back from the brink, how has our nearest neighbour been reshaped? And what does it mean for us? We'll go straight to the news headlines with Clodagh Walsh.
Good morning. The campaign to keep Scotland in the UK is on course to win as counting continues this morning. Results so far in the referendum have favoured the no campaign. 29 of the 32 areas have so far declared their results. Overall, the no campaign stands at 55%, while the yes side stands at 45%. Counting is continuing with the final result expected within the next hour. Our Deputy Foreign Editor Fiona Mitchell reports from Edinburgh.
After a long campaign and weeks of polls indicating the results would be neck and neck, the no side was to take the first declaration. The fight back from the yes side began, not surprisingly, in Dundee, shortly before 4 a.m. this morning. But as the results started to roll in, it was clear that the no side was in the lead, and all indications said that Scottish voters had rejected independence. The focus will now turn to healing the divisions that the referendum opened up. Also on the agenda will be the increased devolved powers promised by the main Westminster party leaders in recent weeks in an effort to woo voters to the no side. The wooing has worked. The expectations will now have to be met. Fiona Mitchell, RTE News at the Edinburgh Count Centre.
Within the past half hour, Scotland's Deputy First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, who campaigned for a yes vote, has been giving her reaction to the referendum result. She said there was a real sense of disappointment.
If that is the result of the referendum, then clearly I'm deeply disappointed. You know, like thousands of others across the country, I've put my heart and soul into this campaign, and there's a real sense of disappointment that we've fallen narrowly short of securing a yes vote, albeit that we have had some spectacular successes, not least in Glasgow, my home city, where we saw a convincing yes vote. Scotland's biggest city voting yes is something that the yes campaign is certainly celebrating. But other than that, obviously, deep personal and political disappointment. But I think there's a very clear message coming from the result tonight, both in terms of the turnout and in terms of the what looks like being the result, and that is that there is an appetite for change.
In other news, the United States Senate has approved President Obama's plan to arm and train moderate Syrian rebels to fight the group calling itself the Islamic State. It's part of Washington's campaign to fight the militants, which have taken control of a swathe of territory across Syria and Iraq. President Obama welcomed the Senate vote, which followed similar approval from the House of Representatives.
I'm pleased that Congress, a majority of Democrats and a majority of Republicans in both the House and the Senate, have now voted to support a key element of our strategy, our plan to train and equip the opposition in Syria so they can help push back these terrorists.
Two adults and six children are reported to have been killed in a shooting in Florida in the United States. The shootings took place in the town of Bell, about 60 kilometres west of Gainesville in the north of the state. Police say a grandfather killed his six grandchildren and his daughter before turning the gun on himself. The US Senate has voted to approve Kevin O'Malley as the new US ambassador to Ireland. Mr. O'Malley was approved by a voice vote on the floor of the US Senate shortly before midnight Irish time. President Obama had nominated Mr. O'Malley to the post, which had been left vacant following the departure of Dan Rooney in late 2012. Sierra Leone has imposed a 3-day curfew on all its citizens as it tries to halt the spread of Ebola. 6 million people have been confined to their homes until Sunday, while volunteers seek out people infected with the disease. The United Nations Security Council has declared Ebola a threat to international peace and security. A resolution called on all countries to provide urgent assistance to the nations affected by the disease. The trade union Unite says it will be placing pickets on a school building site in West Dublin from this morning. The move follows a ballot of Unite members working on the Ratican construction site in a row over pay levels. Talks held between the union and JJ Ratican yesterday afternoon did not find a solution. And now the weather forecast. Mist and fog will clear slowly this morning and some hazy sunshine will break through, best over Ulster and Connacht. Heavy showers will become more widespread elsewhere, with some thundery downpours expected, and these could lead to some spot flooding over parts of Munster and South Leinster, and top temperatures of 16 to 21 degrees in a moderate northeast breezes. That's it for the moment. I'll be back with headlines at 6:30, but now it's over to Pat Clark at Met Éireann for a sea area forecast.
Thank you, Clodagh. Hello, good morning everyone from Met Éireann. And here is the sea area forecast, and it's valid now for the next 24 hours. We have a small craft warning in operation. The meteorological situation at 0300 hours. A moderate, unstable east-northeast flow covers Ireland. Showery troughs near the southeast coast will become slow moving over the country during the day. The forecast now, first of all, for coasts from Carnsore Point to Roaches Point to Valentia. Wind northeast for 3 or 4, and now the forecast from Valentia to Slinehead to Malinhead. Wind northeast for 3 or 4, increasing 4 or 5 and gusty this morning. Winds will touch for 6 at times between Valentia and Slinehead later this afternoon and early tonight. And now the forecast from Malinhead to Hoathhead to Carnsore Point and for the Irish Sea. Wind east to northeast for 2 or 3, backing northeast to north today and possibly touching force 4 in places. Winds increasing north and northeast force 4 or 5 and gusty overnight. Weather for all sea areas. Misty with patches of fog locally. Some hazy sunshine at times on northern northwestern coast during the day, but some heavy and thundery showers too, especially so on southern and eastern coasts and on the Irish Sea. Visibility for all areas. Moderate or poor in precipitation, mist or fog otherwise good. The outlook now for further 24 hours that takes us up to 600 hours on Sunday. Fresh and gusty north-northeast winds, possibly strong on the Irish Sea for a time, but those winds will decrease moderate to fresh later on Saturday. Weather, further rain or showers on the east and south coasts, heavy and thundery in places with local fog patches, but mainly fair weather will extend from the northwest during Saturday morning. Finally now I have the reports at 5 a.m. Malinhead automatic east 2 knots, mist 1.7 miles, 1012 steady. The report from the Buoy and 5 is unavailable, but the visibility at Tusker Lighthouse is 2 miles. Roaches Point automatic northeast 11 knots, mist 2 miles, 1008, falling slowly. Valentia automatic east northeast 1 knot, mist 2 miles, 1008, steady. Palmullet automatic north northeast 8 knots, mist 1.6 miles, 1011, steady. And finally, Dublin Airport north northeast 3 knots, fog. 0.3 miles, 1,010, steady. Well, that's all from Met Éireann for the moment. Very good morning to you all.
Thanks, Pat. It's 7 minutes past six. You're listening to Morning Ireland. Scotland has decided it's no. Voters have rejected independence. The country has voted to stay in the United Kingdom. All of the results aren't in yet. 29 of 32 counts are finished. There are almost a quarter of a million no votes. But from the first declaration at 1:30 this morning in Clackmannanshire, the result was in little doubt.
No.
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 Yes.
Yes.
No.
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 And that gives you a flavour of what happened all through the night as we face into around just 8 minutes past six this morning. Our deputy foreign editor, Fiona Mitchell, she's been up all night. She's been watching the count unfold for us and she's on the line. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Christopher.
Now, bring us the latest. What's the latest to report and how does that change the landscape, if at all?
Well, we are just hearing, just in the last few moments, we're hearing the declaration... which has declared a no.
Sorry, Fiona, we lost you there for a second. Just repeat that for us, please.
Just to say, we've just heard in the last few moments Fife, which has come in as a no, and we've heard from Edinburgh as well, which has also come in as a no in the last 20 minutes or so, and we expect at this point that Fife may very well indeed officially put the no's over. Obviously...
Okay, Fiona.
Called as a no for the last.
Fiona, we're going to leave it there, Fiona. Unfortunately, the line with you isn't good. We will return to you, but we'll just hear from Nicola Sturgeon. She is, of course, the Deputy First Minister of Scotland, a senior member of the Scottish National Party. She's been talking about her disappointment earlier.
Well, if that is the result of the referendum, then clearly I am deeply disappointed. You know, like thousands of others across the country, I've put my heart and soul into this campaign, and there's a real sense of disappointment that we've fallen narrowly short of securing a yes vote, albeit that we have had some spectacular successes, not least in Glasgow, my home city, where we saw a convincing yes vote. Scotland's biggest city voting yes is something that the Yes campaign is certainly celebrating. But other than that, obviously, deep personal and political disappointment. But I think there's a very clear message coming from the result tonight, both in terms of the turnout and in terms of the what looks like being the result. And that is that there is an appetite for change in Scotland. I think the country has been changed forever by this campaign. What we are emphatically not seeing in this result is any kind of endorsement for the status quo. More than a million people voting for independence. Many of those who didn't vote for independence, I'm sure, didn't because they believe that substantial new powers would come to the Parliament in the event of a no vote. So that appetite for change now must be delivered upon.
That's Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon. We were talking to Fiona Mitchell a short time ago, and we're going to go back to her in a moment. That result from Fife has meant that the result of the Scottish referendum is now in no doubt. The no side now have 1,877,252 votes. That's 55%. And the yes side, 1,512,688 votes. The target to win was 1,822,462 votes. So after 30 of 32 counts, the result is in no doubt. Scotland has voted no.
And Fiona, there are the vital statistics there from Gavin. Fiona, you've heard you were talking there about Edinburgh before we lost you on the line.
Yes, Edinburgh had declared approximately 20 minutes ago, but it was Fife that we were waiting for because that was something which we felt would put the no side over the line, which in fact it did. But as I say, it really has been clear for the last couple of hours that it was going. You know, and I think when we heard that montage at the top of the programme, that really gave a flip of how things were going really from the start this evening. I mean, it started at about 1:30 in the morning with the first declarations, but then by about 3 a.m., once the declarations started to come in very regularly, every 5, 10, 15 minutes, it was quite clear how this vote was going to go.
Now, Glasgow, tell us a little bit about Glasgow, because the turnout there was 75%, and that seems pretty paltry by the numbers who were showing up to vote in other council areas, rather.
It's hard to believe, Christopher, that we're talking about a 75% turnout as being a weak turnout. I mean, just imagine if you get that kind of a turnout in a general election or a referendum in our. It would be thought to be a terrific turnout. But given that we've been hearing figures here like 90.1 turnout, 80.9, 89.1, I mean, this turnout has been absolutely staggering.
And it was.
I have to say, over the last days, you've really got a sense of that here. Nobody was really surprised by the turnout. Everybody expected it to be high because it has just been a campaign which has engaged everybody. Everyone here has an opinion about it. There's no such thing as saying, no, I don't want to talk about it. I have no interest in it. Everybody is engaged in it.
Over the last number of weeks, we've been hearing polls which suggest it was pretty knife-edge, that those in favour of staying in the union were ahead just literally by 1 or 2 percentage points once the undecideds were discounted. What has swung the slightly higher margin in favour of staying with the union that we've seen overnight?
Well, those undecideds were always going to be key, and everybody knew that in recent days and in recent weeks. I mean, if you think back to 6 months ago, everybody felt the foregone conclusion. It was going to be a no vote. And then in recent weeks, we had the yes pulling ahead, only by a very slight amount, but that was enough to put the momentum behind them.
Now,
and it was a game changer. And so from that point on, the no side had to, they really had to come out on the offensive, and they had to really try and get their message hammered home to the electorate. And really, I think they had been accused, the no side, quite regularly in the past of running a campaign based on fear. Did have to make it clear to people that there was going to be uncertainty, and I suppose when it comes down to it, people voted on the basis of that uncertainty. That would certainly be how it looks at the moment.
Now, we're going to hear another clip from Nicola Sturgeon of the Scottish National Party, and she is talking really about what lies ahead now that this count is all but over.
I want Scotland to have maximum power. I wanted Scotland to become an independent country. So I am indicating a willingness to work with whoever in order to deliver that. But of course, it was the No campaign, the No parties, who set out a timetable and said that they wanted to deliver more powers. I understand David Cameron is going to be making some kind of statement in the next few hours, and obviously we will see the detail of that and then we will respond to that. But I'm saying very clearly that I've listened and we have listened to the demand that has been expressed through this result tonight for substantial change in Scotland. Our country is never going to be the same again as a result of this campaign, both in terms of the nature of the campaign, a wonderfully exhilarating, empowering experience that saw record high turnout, but also in terms of people, both people who voted yes and those who would have voted no because they believe substantial more powers were coming, who absolutely want now to see those powers delivered.
Nicola Sturgeon there, and of course the vigour of the Yes campaign, the vigour with which so many people have voted to leave the United Kingdom, that suggests, as Nicola Sturgeon was saying, as indeed you were saying at the top of the bulletin, that things can't be the same, expectations have to be met.
No, absolutely. It is very much something that I think probably both sides in this campaign are now going to take. There has been a focus in recent days on trying to heal any rifts that might exist.
Fiona, we're going to cut across you. We're going to cut across you because Alex Salmond is now speaking.
Can I say thank you for that reception? But above all, thank you to Scotland for 1.6 million votes for Scottish independence. Yeah! Now, our friends in the Highlands of Scotland are still to speak, so the final results aren't in. But we know that there is going to be a majority for the No campaign. And it's important to say that our referendum was an agreed and consented process. And Scotland has, by majority, decided not, at this stage, to become an independent country. I accept that verdict of the people, and I call on all of Scotland to follow suit in accepting the democratic verdict of the people of Scotland. But I think all of us in this campaign will say that that 55%, that 1.6 million votes, is a substantial vote for Scottish independence and the future of this country. Let us say something which I hope unites all campaigns and all Scots. I think the process by which we have made our decision as a nation reflects enormous credit upon Scotland. A turnout of 86% is one of the highest in the democratic world for any election or any referendum in history. This has been a triumph for the democratic process and for participation in politics. And for example, the initiative by which our 16 and 17 year olds were able to vote has proved to be a resounding success. I suspect that no one will ever again dispute their right and ability to participate fully and responsibly in democratic elections. So we now face the consequences of Scotland's decision. Firstly, Clause 30 of the Edinburgh Agreement is now in operation. On behalf of the Scottish Government, I accept the result, and I pledge to work constructively in the interests of Scotland and the rest of the United Kingdom. Secondly, the Unionist parties made vows late in the campaign to devolve more powers to Scotland. Scotland will expect these to be honoured in rapid course. Just as a reminder, we have been promised a second reading of a Scotland Bill by the 27th of March next year. And not just the 1.6 million Scots who voted for independence will demand that that timetable is followed, but all Scots who participated in this referendum will demand that that timetable is followed. I'll be speaking to the Prime Minister shortly after this statement, and I'll have a press conference later today to reflect on that and the full results. But can I return, thirdly, to the empowerment of so many Scots entering the political process for the very first time? It's something that is so valuable, it has to be cherished, preserved, and built upon. I've said it a number of times in this campaign that the most moving thing I saw was the queue of people in Dundee 2 or 3 weeks ago, patiently waiting to register to vote, the most of them for the first time ever, deciding to participate in the democratic process. Today in Inveroonie, I met a 61-year-old lady just coming out of the polling station who had never voted before in her life. I met a soldier, a former soldier, who hadn't voted since he'd left the army some 24 years ago. And these people were inspired to enter democratic politics by the thought that they could make a difference in building something better for their country. These are people who all of us, as we campaigned, have met and been inspired by. And all of us are a part of all of that experience that we have encountered. Whatever else we can say about this referendum campaign, we have touched sections of the community who've never before been touched by politics. These sections of the community have touched us and touched the political process. I don't think that will ever be allowed to go back to business as usual in politics again. Yes. So friends, sometimes it's best to reflect where we are in a journey. 45%, 1.6 million, of our fellow citizens voting for independence. I don't think that any of us, whenever we entered politics, would have thought such a thing to be either credible or possible. I think over the last few weeks, we have seen a scare and a fear of enormous proportions, not the scaremongering directed at the Scottish people, but the scare and the fear at the heart of the Westminster establishment as they realised the mass movement of people that was going forward in Scotland. And therefore, today of all days, as we bring Scotland together, let us not dwell on the distance we have fallen short. Let us dwell on the distance we have travelled and have confidence that the movement is abroad in Scotland that will take this nation forward, and we shall go forward as one nation. Thank you very much.
And that was Alex Salmond, Scotland First Minister, leader of the Scottish National Party, sounding Fiona Mitchell, our Deputy Foreign Editor in Edinburgh, every bit as statesmanlike as he has throughout this campaign, and telling Westminster again, you have forgotten Scotland, you've forgotten large parts of Scotland. A big message there.
Absolutely, Christopher. Dwelling on two things. First of all, what he called the triumph of the democratic process, and it's very hard to argue with that. 86% turnout is absolutely phenomenal. But also dwelling on the fact that promises were made, promises that Westminster was accused of having made in a panic, and the Scottish people are not going to want those promises to be taken back now. Nicola Sturgeon echoed that earlier when she talked about the fact that this kind of a vote means that definitely people have not voted to keep the status quo, and that is now where the direction is going to be focused on in the coming days and weeks, because I think they will be very, very keen, Alex Salmond and the SNP, to make sure that this is not forgotten about. This isn't something that Westminster now puts on the long finger because it's not a threat anymore. They have to start dealing with the kind of vows and pledges that they made in recent weeks.
Fiona, we'll leave it there. We'll hopefully get back to you later on in the programme, but the 307-year-old union still intact this morning. The time is 25 minutes past six.
If you're just joining us, 31 of 32 counts declared, just the Highlands left to go yet. 1,914,187 people voted no. 1,539,920 people voted yes. The gap now too large. Scotland has voted no. With us in our studio this morning is David Farrell, Professor of Politics at UCD, and also Fiona Ness, Magazine Editor of the Scottish Business Post, and the only Scot in our studio this morning. Fiona, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How do you feel after this morning's results?
Well, I think it's been a very emotional night. It's been an emotional campaign, and I suppose I'm disappointed this morning with the result in Scotland. I started off as a no vote, surprisingly enough, and in the last couple of weeks, I've really felt the campaign has turned around for me, and I was a resounding yes by the end of it.
What changed your mind?
I think actually it was doing a piece for the Sunday Business Post last week where I rang around all of my school friends, my university colleagues. I just studied law in Glasgow about 17 years ago now, and talking to them, I started off thinking there were a lot of no's, but I was really surprised by the number of professionals who were coming out and saying yes, 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 and the reasons that they were giving me turned my own opinion around.
But this was not a view that would have been shared even within your own family.
No, actually at the start of the whole campaign, my parents rang me, and we never talk about two things in our family, politics or religion. And the first thing my dad said was, apply for a postal vote and put in a no. And I said, okay, fine, I'll do that. But obviously I wasn't allowed to have a postal vote in the end. And I'm quite glad, because I wouldn't have liked to have gone back and said to my dad, actually, no, I'm a yes now. I think my parents are probably reflective of an older generation who turned the referendum into an issue of macroeconomic risk. The younger people that I was speaking to weigh that up against the inability of Scotland's left-leaning electorate to influence Westminster. But for my parents, coming from a completely different generation, they were entrenched and just, no, don't mess with...
Because of loyalty to the union or because of fear?
I think it was out of fear, and going against a backdrop of West of Scotland Catholics, when the SNP, the people who are motivating the yes vote, would have been anti-Catholic when I was growing up, certainly when my parents were growing up, they wanted to get rid of things like Catholic schools.
Yes.
And it was very difficult for Catholics in my area to get jobs, that kind of thing.
You're from Motherwell originally, yes.
I'm from Motherwell. It's a town, actually, a conurbation of Motherwell, Wishaw and Motherwell, where Ravenscraig famously was located. And so we saw, Scotland was decimated by the Thatcher government. We're coming from that kind of backdrop, but yet it was a very strong Labour stronghold. There wasn't a lot of SNP, and people were fearful of the SNP and what they might do to the minority, the Catholic minority in that area.
Just briefly before I go to David, and we'll get news headlines in a moment, status quo, Scotland as is this morning, or do you think your country has been changed forever, irrespective of this result?
Well, I think the no vote is actually a not proven vote, that the anomaly of the Scottish legal system, where if you have a murder trial, for example, you and you don't think it's yes and you don't think it's no, you can say not proven. And I feel that the yes is just, they didn't have that, they didn't have their risks addressed properly, and they just didn't have that motivation to break away from 300 years of union, a union which was actually motivated by the Scottish elite. So I think a yes vote needed enduring and overwhelming support, and they just didn't get it. I'm not sure that there'll be a huge amount of change now. I'd be fearful that we would just slip back into being the second citizens of Britain.
David Farrell, Professor of Politics at UCD, thank you as well for coming into us this morning. That point that Fiona was addressing, I mean, Scotland has decided to stay in the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom stays as it is this morning, but is it now changed as a result of this verdict?
Yes, I think the short answer is it is changed. I mean, 1.6 million people voted for this referendum. And the parties were falling over themselves, the UK main parties were falling over themselves to make promises in desperation in the last few days to try and hold the line. Those are promises that they will now be held to. I mean, the big complication, where I agree with Fiona, obviously, in some respects, is that we have an impending British election. So attention is now about to shift to the impending election in May of next year. So there's going to be they're going to be pulled both ways. They're going to be trying to deal with the desire of the Scottish citizens who voted in favour of this referendum for something. But equally, they're about to knock a lot of lumps out of each other in the next election in Britain.
David and Fiona, stay with us. Plenty more to discuss. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Morning Ireland. It's 6:30.